Thanks for listening to the Go Live Kenyo podcast, where we talk about social media, entrepreneurship, lifestyle, anything else. And I love to interview different guests, and you get to spend some time with me. Kenyo. Kenyo. Your favorite. Kenyo. Okay. See ya. Mr. Composition is actually right here with me. Say what's up, Mr. Composition.
Yo, what's up? It's Mr. Composition, MC that writes fiction, and we are on the ways to see Black Mother Flippin' Panther in 3 Mother Flippin' D. Dabtro Creations, Project Forward, Idea Parties, Rest, Work Up, Work Out, Mother Flippin' What?
Yeah, so you guys see, this is why you listen to the Go Live Kenyo podcast. And yeah, you'll notice by the second time listening to this that this is my official intro. So thanks for checking it out. Subscribe to everything he just said. We're going to go see Black Panther.
Hey guys, this episode of the podcast is a smorgasbord of awesome talent and creator entrepreneurship energy. I have some co-hosts on the episode, Mr. Composition, the MC that writes fiction, Frankie Michelle, and Chantel Logan. Those last two women, not to bunch them up because they're women, but just because they're both writers. They're both writers and bloggers. And yeah, they are my co-hosts for this episode. And my guest is Miss Alicia Etanoff. She's a comedian, and she put out this really great web series. So I wanted to interview her, and we got to talk about her process, and it inspired me a lot. She gave a lot of really good ideas about balance, and it was a really great talk. So now I'm giving it to you. So thank you so much for listening. Enjoy this. Run away, my sweet babe.
Hi, Alicia.
How are you?
I'm good. Thanks. I already started recording just in case, because I want to maximize our time, you know.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I said I already started recording because I want to maximize our time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very cool. So basically, I'm just going to jump in, let you know what my background is on it. So I saw your web series. I'm here with two other people. One of them is Mr. Composition. He's an MC that writes fiction. And then Frankie Michelle. She's a super awesome.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
Hey.
Super awesome blogger.
And, awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, definitely. And shout out to everyone who's listening to the podcast. You guys are also sort of in the room. Anyway, Mr. Composition. Mr. Composition shared your piece of work with me, and it was really cool. And I just wanted to start it off with, like, how did you come up with that project and, like, decide to execute it? And did you put the team together? Okay, that's two questions. That's enough.
Yeah, no, answer both. So I was honestly just trying to figure out what my next project was going to be. I had been doing stand-up for a while, and I have been writing, you know, since I was young, and so I wanted to, like, somehow mix. And also just, like, I mean, as you guys know, like, we're in, like, a very divisive time, right? And I am also, like, I've been going to church, and so I just kind of wanted to, I was like, God, is there some way that I can kind of, like, fuse all those things together, as far as, like, my feelings about the world and our state and, like, being Black and being a Black woman, and then also, you know, like, my relationship with God, and then also just, like, I'm so pro-therapy as far as just, like, I think it's, like, mental health, as I'm sure you guys know, it's just, like, so important and one that we don't necessarily prioritize. So it's, like, all of those things kind of, like, I kind of, like, mix them up in, like, a brewing pot, essentially. I was, like, what is there, you know? And so I came up with this, originally, and I do improv out here, too, and originally I was just, like, it wasn't, like, a through line. It was just me with, like, random wigs from, like, the Halloween store. It's, like, pretending to be different guardian angels. And I was, like, literally, like, this sounds horrible, but, like, I was, like, get to work super early, and I would like go to my, because my boss had this like wonderful couch with like beautiful pillows, and I would shoot these like little vignettes on my phone of me just like, I was like Idris Elba's guardian angel, and like Michelle Obama's guardian angel, et cetera, et cetera. And like it was fine, but my friend one day was like, Alicia, love that you're doing improv, but you write, that's your strength. Maybe you should just write them, you know, maybe not improv, but just write them.
So you wrote
them.
The whole
like,
thing?
Oh my God. What did you say?
You wrote the series?
Yeah, I wrote the series. So like I am the creator of this.
Okay.
I'm the creator of the series. I wrote it and I'm in it.
Okay. Are you now, did you have different directors for the whole thing or did you direct it?
No. So the director is the wonderful Clarence Williams IV. Okay. We went to college together. And so I knew that he had done a web series called Redwood Time with my friend Carter Redwood. It was such a funny, amazing. And so like, I asked him to come and direct all my episodes, and he did.
That's super cool. Okay. Very cool. I think I cut you off, but I think we sort of answered that first question. With the team, though, that's kind of cool. And we talk about mental health and balance all the time. It's, anyone who does anything, especially this kind of stuff, there has to be a lot of balance involved, especially with, putting a team together. It's easy to not be able to work together with people, but that's kind of not an option when you're working on a project like this. How do you kind of,
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so how do you kind of make sure that you can, how do you pick the people you work with?
Well, a lot of the people that were on the team were people that I went to school with. That I was friends with, that I see all the time. We always get drinks or coffee. And so there was like a trust there as far as like my executive producer, Kendra Chapman, my director, Clarence Williams, the fourth, and my costume director and my costume designer, Effie Turkson, who is my line sister, actually. So a lot of it was just like people that I knew. And then the other parts of it really were prayer and just like divine appointments, essentially. Like with my DP, Dylan Dubis, who is like just so talented, I had put a post out on like a Facebook group, like, hey, I'm looking for a DP. It's about therapy for guardian angels, which was like the original title, who's interested? And all these people messaged me and they had fine reels. And then I picked someone and then Dylan messaged me the day after. And something in me said, you should just message him and say like, you love him, because his reel was amazing. I was like, I love your reel, but I already picked someone. I hope we can work together in the future. And then it didn't end up working with the other DP. And so Dylan kind of came on and helped me produce it for a while before Kendra came on the project. So like a lot of it was just, like I said, just, like going off of like feelings of I like this person personally and I know how they work. I went to college for drama, and so a lot of my friends are in this industry and that I've known for, 7+ years. And so, a lot of recommendations and knowing and trusting, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. Okay, very cool. We're going to get one question from Mr. Composition, then one from Frankie. Mr. Composition.
Yeah.
Hello. This is super cool speaking with you. I literally had saw a post about a new Afrofuturism, thing, and I was just like, what is this? And so now I'm speaking with you. It's crazy. I had seen, I think there was seven. I think I seen 5 out of the 7, and what I had seen far is I love the way that you you have Creepy Charlie, and you're all about empowering him being himself, it was very interesting the way that it was blurred together as far as with the different issues that we struggle with as far as Black people in America, then also the emotional trauma of Black men. Like, I feel like that isn't really spoken about, and the fact that it was chosen to be a young Black kid, and just the weirdness about it, like, I don't know how many people want to admit at 12, like, how weird that they are, even though if they're not, that way right now. And so when my question is, was the original intent to make it like a Afrofuturism thing, or was it what
drew you to want to be able to, because you have, like you said, you have the religious themes, you have the mental health themes. What, as far as the development of the episode, as far as even the minutes, like they're not all, they're all each individually their own thing. Like they're not consistent as far as like 7 minutes, you know, one will be three, you know. So what was like the idea behind doing that?
Sure. So I originally wrote, like, there was four angels. When I decided to, like, move from it being improv and, like, really silly and kind of moving it to be more resonant and serious, I wrote, there was four angels, and I wrote 40 episodes. And so each angel kind of had, like, a thing that they were really passionate about. It's like one angel was really passionate about, like the plight of Black women. Another one was like really passionate about like Black boy joy and like, and just like the quirkiness that comes from like a little boy who was grown up in this, like in this time and who like loves, I can think that, that not all, you know, people that stereotypically boys don't like. And so basically when I decided to just do one angel, I took my favorite episodes and favorite scripts of each angel, kind of compiled them to fit within the voice of Raz. And the funniest, like out of all the guardian angels, humans, Creepy Charlie was the funniest one. And so kind of, Raz and Creepy Charlie kind of got paired together. And so I started to think about, you know, like with this particular hippie like angel and this creepy boy, what things are important to them? And so, yeah, so I guess in short, it was a combination of just like, after writing 40 episodes, picking my favorite 7 and then tailoring it to my favorite characters, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And as far as like the timing goes, they were originally, they were monologues. So I'd written them to just be the angel speaking. There, you would never hear or see the therapist.
Yeah.
And so then I decided that, you know, it would be better to play off of someone. I thought a therapist could be a lot of like really funny and be have comic relief or comedic relief. And so anyway, when you take monologues and then add a whole character to them, some of them end up being like just different ones depending on, like what it needed or like what was funniest or appropriate. And so that's, and so like in script form, they were all 1 to 3 pages. And then depending on the way that we shot them, they ended up being longer or shorter in post. So yeah, so I guess it's more like happenstance as far as how, why the lengths are so different. But yeah, it was a lot of just like, what's in, like, I'm really passionate about, you know, like the plight of, especially like dark skinned Black women and how we are portrayed in the media and like, in a lot of ways disenfranchised, and it's just when it comes to like desire and love and romance and things like that. And so it was important for me to see women that I thought, like just beauty, and being able to like glorify that, which is kind of where the aesthetic came from, which is why Dana and I are both like, why the therapist is also like portrayed, you know, why the angels portrayed like a dark skinned Black woman. I just don't feel like we see that very often. And it was also really important for me to like, we're in heaven. And so like heaven, like when I was talking to my team about it, heaven is neither in the past, present, or future, it just is. And so I kind of like, that gave so much freedom to not be bound by like earthly style or aesthetics, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, I'm sorry. I hope that answers the question.
Oh, no, no.
development.
Yeah, it does, and that's interesting what you said as far as the dark-skinned women, because, you know, I noticed that about it as far as their, even their relationship with the way that they interacted with each other. Like, it wasn't any, like, jealousy or anything like that, even though the, you know, the therapist was her senior, like, it didn't seem like she would had that, put that over her. And there was an understanding, you know, and empathy that she, you know, was able to display on the later episodes as well, when she started saying that, you know, maybe we can, you know, keep the name. And, you know, if that's what makes you happy now that I understand that, you know, where it is that you came from.
I mean, absolutely. It's just, it's all about respect, right? Like, you know, Raz really respects Dr. Haniel. She respects her just by way that, like, she's an archangel and she's, you know, God has placed her with her. I think that it takes her a while to kind of, like, really, like, say that, oh, you're really good at your job. But I think there's, like, a genuine and general respect there. And vice versa. Like, they both don't see eye to eye. But I imagine that our world would be better if we just had, like, a general respect of one another. And that comes from just, like, feeling that we're equal, right? Like, if you feel like you're equal to someone, then, like, you're going to respect them because you respect yourself. And so if we had more self-respect and respect of others, our world would be better. And so, like, I was, like, in heaven, that's, I believe that that's just like a rule of thumb. That's like a natural thing, an organic thing in heaven, is that there's a high self-respect and then therefore a high respect of others. And so, yeah, that's why their relationship is what they are. They can disagree, you know, like one's more new school, one's old school, but there's a respect there. And so their relationship can grow into like a sisterhood. It didn't start there, but it can grow to that. But there's room to grow because there's a respect there.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Very cool. All right, Frankie, what would be your question?
So I don't necessarily have a question. I just want to start off and give you props for what you've made because it's so relevant and fresh. Just to give you...
The question isn't optional. You have to ask a question.
I'm not really big on forcing a question, but I don't have a question. I just really enjoy the conversation. I haven't watched your series, so I don't have... Well, I'm not going to... pull out, like, I just don't have a question because I just haven't had a question, like, emerge.
You can make up a question?
I've listened. Okay, so I have a standard question that I could ask, but I don't think it's as relevant. But Kenya wants a question. So this is a standard question I ask for this. And it's, I think it is relevant because you talk about mental health, right?
Or this, yeah, absolutely.
So, like, how do you deal with that demon voice? I love Amy Poehler's book. Yes, please, have you read it?
Say that one more time.
Have you read Amy Poehler's book, Yes, Please?
Oh my gosh, yes. It's one of my, you know, every comedian has a book. That's one of my favorite. I listened to her on her audio book. It was great.
That book.
Oh yeah, you have like the demon of like, oh, are you like, oh, you're ugly. She's like, no, eventually tell your inner demon or like your monster, just like kind of shut up and go to bed and you'll go out to party and you can come back and talk about it.
Yeah,
later.
She's like, yeah, I know I'm not that pretty, but I'm going to go out and I'm going to have fun. You know, like, I think that was
exactly.
So empowering, right? Well then,
absolutely.
How do you deal with the voice that might tell you not to believe in yourself? How do you deal with your demon voice?
Oh my! You know what's funny? I love that question. I know you said you didn't really have a question before. That's such a great question because like I feel like I've just come to have an answer with that question.
Okay.
I feel like it's great timing as far as like I feel emotionally healthy right now. You know, I spent I think a lot of time. That monster, like it's like that monster wasn't just like a little annoying child. That monster was like, you know, a huge part of my life as far as like the way that I viewed myself and myself in terms of men and myself in terms of like my ambition and my potential. All those things, I feel like the monster became like not just like a roommate, but like my landlord, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to this point at the end of last year of just like feeling unhappy. Like I'd written this thing, I'd shot it, I felt really proud of it, but still I personally was dealing with, you know, my inner demon and monster of telling that I wasn't enough, right? Like that's the worst part of it. Like when you feel like you're not enough. But anyway, so I've come to this point where I just said, okay, God, for kicks and giggles, like what if I just believed I was beautiful? Like, not, I don't know if I believe it right now, but like what if I just like, said that to myself and like took away the pressure of like to be able to believe that someone has to validate it, right? Like I don't, like, you know, I guess what I'm saying, I want to say in like a concise way. So I said to God, I was like, if I could just say to myself, I'm beautiful without the pressure of like another guy or woman or role model or agent or casting director, whatever it is, validate that to make it real. What if I just like saw them in two different categories? And then like myself said that, like, I felt like the other part of me was like, that's stupid. You know what I mean? If no one feels that way, then like, there's no reason to think it. I was like, this is for kicks and giggles, I'm going to try it. And this year I kind of gotten to a point where I'm just like, wow, like can you make it until you actually believe it? And now I'm in this place of like, all right, my monster is smaller because I stopped giving it power, right? Like I stopped saying like, this monster it has clout or like this monster knows what it's talking about. I was just kind of like, if I say monster, you're not real, then I stop giving it power and therefore it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So even though it, you know, like Amy Poehler says, like it will always kind of be there, but I stopped engaging with it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I stopped engaging with the monster. And even though like it would whisper and I would hear it, I stopped turning my head to be like, huh, what'd you say? Ah, damn, you're right. I started saying, I can't, I don't even know what you're saying. You're speaking another language. And yeah. And naturally I think with like, when you start having confidence, even if you fake that confidence, when you eventually start having confidence in yourself and having like a mutual, I mean like a self-respect for yourself,
yeah.
Then or like a self respect. I feel like organically your monster will get smaller. And then it also just comes with like, because I don't know how religious you guys are, but like, for me, it's like also just like a surrender to there being like a higher power. And so I look the way that I do, and I the hue that I am. I am. I have the desires that I do. I'm in the position that I am because it was masterfully designed that way. And so like, I giving into the fact that I am part of a bigger purpose, and then like I said, like stop listening to the what I'm realizing is the ridiculous voice of self-degradation, then yeah, it gets fun. So there, yeah, I know it's like a long answer, but that's where I am right now.
Frankie literally asked you, you know, how you battle demons. That's a big question. So the big answer is cool. All right, cool. Well, I know you got to bounce soon. I want to do one more super flash question because we also had Chantel. This has now turned into the biggest interview that's ever happened. We had just a simple question. She doesn't know who you are, but writer to writer. I'll tell you about her later. But writer to writer, what would be your question for a writer? She wrote a web series to give you some background.
Oh, wow. I'm thinking of writing a web series. So, like, how did you get that started? Like, how did you get...
I already asked that one. You have to ask it. This is like Family Feud.
It's a whole...
Yeah, it's like Family Feud. Next question. You have to try another one.
Already asked.
No.
How did you keep people engaged? Did you already ask that?
No. That's
okay. How did you keep the audience engaged in your web series?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it. Say that one more time.
She said, how do you keep the audience engaged with your web series?
I guess that's a hard question to answer because like I shot them all in a weekend, and so like when I put it out, I was kind of like, well, hope everybody likes it because this is it. I guess I kept my audience engaged by just like writing something that I really believed in, hope that it would resonate with others, and we put it out. Planned the screening here in California, and got Yvonne Orji from Insecure to do stand up for, which was so great. And so we had a sold out show. Some of my closest comedian friends also did stand up, like Brittany DeLeese, who is a writer on The Mayor, which I'm an assistant on, and George Burns, who's a great comedian, and Dana F. Johnson, who plays the therapist, and then I do stand up as well. And so basically, we did this comedy show and invited people out to like see it and kind of review it and kind of put it out on social media, and they loved it, which is great. And so it kind of like has taken its life of its own from there. People have written about it. I've asked people to write about it. You know what I mean? And so like that, yeah, people seem to connect with it.
That was a really good answer, and I am so stealing that strategy. This is the main reason I do interviews. It's actually just like espionage for me. That was a really cool. that's really awesome. Well, I know you're gonna head out, but let's get your where can we find you on the all the socials? Is there anything that you're pushing specifically right now or having fun with right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can follow me. I guess I'm the writer and the star of the show, and you can follow me on Instagram, which is my Alicia C. Etnoff, which is AlishaCetinoff. You can catch me on Twitter at ACETheComic, and then you can catch the show on Facebook. It's Avant Guardians, the series, and then like our. And then pretty much, like, if you look up Avant Guardians on Twitter, like, you'll see our page. I think it's, like, @AvantGuardians. And same thing with Instagram. So you guys can check us out and watch it. All episodes, there's only 7 episodes. Every episode is under 5 minutes. They're 1 to 5 minutes. And it's a lot of fun.
Are you going to make more?
Check us out. Can I say that one more time?
Are you going to make more?
That's the hope, yeah. The hope is that, you know, we would either do a season 2 or someone even wants to develop it into like a half hour or hour television show. And so we're waiting on making definitive future plans until we get into film festivals and kind of see where we land. And hopefully more people will watch it and so we'll get more attention. And that way it would warrant a season 2 or more development. So please tell everybody about it.
Awesome.
Every view counts, every talk or chat or tweet, it counts. It really does.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Miss Alicia Etnoff.
Yeah, so, yes.
Yeah, I appreciate your time so much. I hope you have a good rest of your day in lovely California.
Thank you. You too, guys. It was so great to talk to everyone, and I hope my answers made sense. So, but yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no, thank you. Have a good one.
Mm-hmm. All right, bye.
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 That was awesome. So cool. It was good. Okay, what's your what do you got? What do you want to throw on this podcast?
My Instagram.
Your Instagram.
At Chantel underscore Logan.
At Chantel underscore Logan. That is a really... Anyway, boom. And then you can find me at... I'm going to do Instagram too. I think that's what it should be. You pick one social media. I'm picking
Instagram.
Actually, really, I would like Snapchat. Snapchat would be so much fun. I like people watching the snaps. So I'm going to do Snapchat because I'm always being difficult at KenyoHQ. My Instagram is the same thing, though, so
I kind
of cheated.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like,
yeah,
if you know, like, you're not on Snapchat. I find that if you're over 30, you're just not on Snapchat.
That's a Gary Vee is 38.
He's 40.
40?
He's 42.
He's killing the Snapchat. That just kind of shut down your whole...
Unless you're, like, a personality, a public figure.
You are
if you're not a public
figure.
Who's not a public figure? There's no such thing as private figures.
Okay.
Everybody's a public figure. That's my primary. Okay.
Really,
but what's your social? Which
hey,
one do you want?
You can find me at on Instagram at FRANQUE Michelle with one L. Frankie Michelle. Boom.
How about Mr. Composition? What do you
Mr. Composition, MC that writes fiction. You can find me at Graffiti the Mind Son on Instagram. Graffiti the Mind Son, S-O-N. Or adaptro.com.
Yes.
No.
You need that at the bottom, like.
Oh, to write it?
No, I got the bottom, like, spill that out. That's a long one.
Oh, yeah. Well, are you still recording?
No.
Okay. So this part will just be audio. But I will put your guys' links in there to your Instagram pages. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. We're going to rate Alicia Waters. Collectively decide to give her... I was going to say a low number as a joke, but I just didn't want to mess up her energy because
she's
trying to do so
she's
much
freaking,
stuff. So I'm
going to
give her
it.
A 9.7. Okay.
Yeah.
And that'll usually go over.
That's true. Usually you don't go
I don't
over
even
eight.
Go into nines, really.
Yeah.
What did you give me?
I don't actually rate people. This was just a joke. No rating.
Say,
you're
like,
a human
you...
being priceless. I didn't
yeah,
do
right.
any rating. But...
I give myself a
10
every day.
Yes, everyone is a 10. Now,
10.
As to your specific performance
oh
at
my
that
God.
Time.
I need
anyway,
a rubric.
See you guys
I'm in traffic.
Right.
All right, see you guys. Bye.
Bye.